Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, episode number 504. My name is Scott Van Ack. I'm the senior SEO at Stepforth Web Marketing. Ross is away today, so you're stuck with only me. I apologize, or I don't know, maybe you prefer only me. If you do, I want to hear about that because I need an ego boost, I suppose. So we're just going to dive right in. It'll probably be a bit of a shorter show than normal just because I'm solo and without a bit of that back and forth banter, you know, I tend to get through stuff pretty quick, I think. So let's see how it goes. We will start with some non-SEO news. The first piece is a little bit more local related, but I put it as non-SEO and it's related to Google review scams. So this is something that's been happening for a while, but seems to be resurfacing, so I thought I'd bring it up. Bill Hartzer actually recently noted this as well, that he found that, this is actually a quote from Bill, that scammers are now texting businesses about how they're posting negative reviews on their business. So essentially what they're doing is the scammers are sending a business a text. They're saying, hey, I just left a bad negative review. Maybe I had an order. Maybe they'll say they had an order from somebody for, you know, multiple bad reviews on your site, but they post one, they contact you, and then they demand payment. They blackmail looking for usually gift cards. I mean, it couldn't be more of a red flag about a scam when someone's demanding payment in gift cards, right? But that's what they do. They demand gift cards, and if you don't pay them, they'll proceed to bombard your Google business profile with negative reviews. So this is nothing new, and I know everybody that listens to SEO 101 is incredibly intelligent, or you wouldn't be listening. So you likely wouldn't fall for these scams anyways, but anybody can fall for them, you know, especially if you're really concerned, if you're worried. But do not send payment to these guys. Just don't. Ignore them. Do not interact with them. Simply, like what Google suggests, is flag their negative reviews if they do end up posting any and submit a report via Google's Help Center. We will have a link to the Help Center in the show notes, so be sure to subscribe to that. And, you know, that's about all you can do. If you do decide, hey, I'm going to pay them and then they'll go away, well, they don't go away. They just demand more money and more money, and they'll just keep trying to take as much as they can from you because they know you're going to pay. So it seems obvious, I know, but there's so many scams out there, and I hear more and more often people getting caught up in these scams, even though they, you know, they know better. I've had a few close calls myself where I almost fell for them. So far, I've been good, but sometimes these scammers, they get really tricky, and you can't always tell, but this one's pretty clear. So hopefully you don't fall for it. Hopefully it doesn't affect you. Hopefully you don't start getting destroyed with negative reviews from scammers, but report it to Google and hopefully they'll do something about it. Although Google, I don't know, Google doesn't have the best track record for replying and fixing issues that people report. So, but you can try. So that's that. The next is about a Yoast SEO plugin that was inserting hidden AI HTML code. So just this week, Yoast released an emergency fix after it discovered the premium version. So this does not affect the free version, only those with the premium paid version installed. It was leaking AI-related code into actual WordPress content. So the bug was causing AI-created HTML attributes to be injected into the site content. So a tiny bit of background. Last week, we actually talked about this when we discussed AI fingerprints. So these are indications that copy may have come from an AI source. One of those fingerprints was a class called Data Start, which may appear in a paragraph tag, or it might appear in other tags, in other attributes in the content you get. You don't see this data when you copy the content from AI and paste it onto your site. It's all behind the scenes HTML, so you may not even notice it, but it's there. And it's kind of a red flag to Google that, hey, this content was created by AI. It couldn't be more obvious. So if you're using Yoast Premium, which does have an AI-powered feature to generate content, those fingerprints were being injected automatically into the content. So they fixed this bug, so that's not going to happen anymore. But if you had anything posted within let's say the first half of June, you might want to go back and look at anything that Yoast has created and remove those extra little codes that might be there. So again, this is only in the paid premium version. The free version is not affected. And I do want to note that if you are copying content from AI to your site, those fingerprints will most likely still be there, whether you're copying it from ChatGPT or wherever, whatever AI you're using, you'll probably get those fingerprints. So it's something to watch out for. Again, we talked about it in our last episode, so I won't go too far down that rabbit hole. But something to watch out for. So keep an eye out. Currently, though, like, don't panic. If Google sees that your content is AI generated or suspects it is, right now, that is okay. As long as the content, again, serves its purpose, it's relevant, it's factual, it's helpful to your users, it's not just a fluff garbage piece, it's fine. Google doesn't care currently. In the future, that may change. Other search engines might change and decide that they don't like AI content. They don't want to rank people that create it. So because of that potential future risk, make sure that these fingerprints aren't present. Make sure your content is vetted. You've gone through manually and made sure that your expertise is reflected within that content, and you should be fine. Just a little proactivity. I'm not sure that's even a word. Being proactive to prevent future problems from AI content is worth your time while you're creating it. So, next, we don't have a lot of very specific SEO news. There is some turbulence right now in the rankings. It is suspected that there is a core update possibly about to happen. I'm not going to go deep into that because, as you know, there's always updates at Google. Google's always going crazy, and this is not a confirmed update by any means. It's just people noticing some bad weather in the SERP, so to speak. So I'm not going to go into it. If you care, you can find more information, but there's really not a lot of information. If it does turn out to be a core update and we have some details, we will go into that in more detail in the next episode, of course. So right now, though, what I did find is there was an article written by Olga Czar over at Search Engine Land and had a ton of 101 level tips for, in this case, using the URL inspection tool over at Google Search Console. And I saw this and I thought, this is great. We don't always go into these little tips and things. And I wanted to do this because I feel like if you're just learning SEO, if you're trying to figure out how to benefit from Google Search Console, what to use Google Search Console for, this is just a nice little rundown of the one tool that they provide. And this is a URL inspection tool. So here we've got, I think there's about 7 or 8 tips from Olga. Check out her article at Search Engine Land if you want to really dive into this. She does a fantastic job. The article is very thorough. I'm not going to be anywhere near as thorough. I'm just going to kind of touch base on the points, give you a quick summary of what they do, what's important about it. And then you can go back and really find more info from her article if you'd like. And the link will be in the show notes newsletter. So that's always good. So the first and most common use for the tool is checking a page if it's indexed. Very simply, you know, you log into Search Console, you enter the URL in the tool, Google will tell you if it's indexed or not. If it is, awesome. If it's not, well, the next tip is you can use it to get the page's index. So once you've checked the URL, you can click request indexing if it's not indexed, and Google will most likely index it unless it sees reason not to. From my experience, pages submitted for indexing usually end up in the index within 24 hours. I've seen cases when they're in the index within minutes. I wouldn't bank on that happening every time, but I have seen it happen. It's usually pretty quick. I do recommend if you have a site that doesn't see a lot of content updates, is fairly static, that when you do post new content, go into Search Console, submit the URL for indexing, and you'll get it in there a lot quicker. Pages, websites that are very active and publishing a lot of new content, they're very big, lots of inbound links and authority, Google tends to find that content very quickly. So for example, we had a client who did a new website launch just this week, actually. And within 12 hours or so, the new pages they created were indexed on their own, just because the site has a lot of authority already. So keep that in mind. If your site is strong, you might not need to do that. If your site is a smaller site that has less action, you will probably want to. The next is you can use this tool to see what Google sees. Entering your URL in, Google can show you how they render your page, which can often be pretty beneficial. So it will show your site's source code after any JavaScript has been rendered on the site. So this can be fantastic if you're trying to troubleshoot various issues and things, and you just want to get an idea of if Google can see the code or see the content that you're injecting via JavaScript or whatever. So it can be helpful for troubleshooting. You can run a live test to check real-time page status. So this is kind of nice. You can see how Googlebot interacts with your page right now. It will highlight indexing and other concerns. Some of these concerns I'll still be going over in a moment, and just gives you a better idea of what's going on at Google right now. You can compare declared and selected canonical URLs. So you can view what canonical tag your site is declaring on the page itself. And if Google is seeing something else, they'll display that. So if Google shows the canonical for your declared and what Google is selecting as being the same, great, that's what you want to see. If Google is showing you a different URL that they're using, then you might want to figure out, why is Google ignoring my canonical tag and using this other page on my site? It could be a reason of authority, content, there could be duplication, who knows? There could be a lot of reasons why Google may do that. But if you see a discrepancy there, that gives you an indication that something is off and you may want to make an adjustment to how you're doing things. Another common thing you might want to use this tool for is reviewing structured data and rich result eligibility. This will show you exactly what structured data Google has detected on a given page. It will display errors and warnings of that structured data. So that can be really helpful. That said, I tend to use Google's rich result test or even the schema markup validator. I'll have links in the show notes. They tend to be a little more helpful. They elaborate a little bit more in the details. And you can also use the tool to inspect HTTP headers. So if you've got a page that is acting weird, maybe it's not showing up for somebody, maybe you've got an error or a weird redirect, it will show if that page is serving a 200 OK, a 301 redirect, a 404 not found, whatever the case may be. I actually don't use it for that. I have a Chrome extension, Link Redirect Trace, that does it in real time in the browser bar in Chrome. I find that way more useful for myself, but the URL inspection tool is a great quick way to do it. If you don't need to do it very often, you're just checking the odd page, you might not want an extension installed. So yeah, so that's just a few, kind of a high level overview of what the URL inspection tool is useful for. Check out that article by Olga Czar at Search Engine Land. You'll get way more detail than I just went over. And it should be helpful if you want to learn a bit more about that. So, all right, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will touch on some local and AI news. And we'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, hosted by myself today, Scott Van Ack. I'm the senior SEO at Stepforth Web Marketing. Remember, we do have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. Do not miss a single link and refresh your memory of a past show at any time. You will want to subscribe to that if you want some of the links I'm talking about, or you could Google search it, I suppose, but sign up for the newsletter, get access to the show notes. Will make your life a lot easier if you care about some of these links. So we've got a bit of local news here. The first is that Google is disallowing adding countries or states to service area businesses. So Google has updated its service area business guidelines to add, do not add countries or states as a service area. There's one comment in the on the post over at SE Roundtable, and the person said, why make it an option if it's not designed to do that? And yeah, I kind of agree. Why would Google let you do it if they don't want you to do it? At any rate, they state in their guidelines, you must specify service area by city, postal code, or another type of area. You can have up to 20 service areas. The boundaries of your area should not be more than 2 hours driving time from your physical location. And then, of course, the new line, do not add countries or states as the service area. So, you know, it may not affect you if you are servicing an entire state. You're going to have to block that off into cities within the state, that kind of thing. Small change, but worth noting if you are currently assigning an entire state or even a country to your service area. And next up, if you have a hotel, you will want to pay attention to this. At the start of July, Google will be ending the ability for hotels to manage their hotel rates in Google Business Profile by themselves. So in an email sent to hotel managers, Google has said, starting the 30th of July, you will need a new partner to display your rates. Self-service hotel rates are ending soon. To ensure that your rates remain visible to potential customers after the 30th of July, 2025, you will need to work with a central reservation system, internet booking engine, or other partner. Not sure that I love the idea of this forcing people to work with other partners. Probably has to do with trying to keep things fair and accurate and keep people from gaming the system, perhaps. I'm not really sure, but if you are a hotel, and this will affect you then for sure. You can find your partner at travel.google/partners/hotels/find-a-partner. And again, that link is in the show notes. If you are just doing it self-serve style right now, you'll definitely want to check that link out and get that sorted, because your rates will stop appearing in search if you don't. You've got about a month, a little over a month to take care of that. And now I've got a little bit of AI news, a little bit of data, and a little bit of Google AI mode news. Nothing major, but worth noting. Google AI overviews, interestingly, used to always rank in position one about 98% of the time. About 2% of the time, AI overviews would rank below position one. Well, a new study by, who is this by? By SEO Clarity found the following. As of now, about 87.6% of AI overviews are in position one. So this is still very high, but a lot lower than before. It was 98% were number one. Now we're down to just under 88%. 7.6% appear in position two, 2.8%. Found that informational queries continue to dominate, accounting for about 84% of all AI overviews. 12.38% are transactional, 3.31% are navigational, and about 0.15% of AI overviews are local-based, which is interesting. It's the first stat I've seen about local, and I'm not sure that I've ever actually seen local results in AI overviews personally. So and that's why it's less than a tenth or about a tenth of a percent. Mark Traphagen, the VP of Marketing at SEO Clarity, believes that AI overviews are being pushed down as Google views user behavior. So suggests that less popular AI overviews are being intentionally demoted. So if people are scrolling past AI overviews and they're clicking on the organic or paid or other search features, it's showing Google that AI overviews, or at least in that particular search, people don't care about, they're not paying attention to, and it's affecting how that AI overview is ranking. Google kind of does the same thing with regular organic search. If you've got a top rank and your ranking is being passed by and people just aren't clicking on it, it may get demoted. That click-through rate does play a role. So it's kind of the same thing, really. And finally, one last point. Google AI mode has been expanded. It was available only in the US, and now it's also available in India. Still no Canada. We will get it someday. We will. Currently in India, it is still an experiment in labs in English only. So it is not fully rolled out in India, but they have begun. So hopefully that's a good sign that, well, I guess it's, is it good or is it bad? We don't have it in Canada and we'd like to see it, but at the same time, it may have negative SEO consequences in the future. So I don't know how I feel about it, but we can't even really test it much right now. So that's unfortunate. Hopefully that will change soon. And that's it for the show today. So, you know, on behalf of myself, Scott Van Ack, Senior SEO at Stepforth Web Marketing, thank you for joining today. Remember, we do have that show notes newsletter. You can sign up for it at SEO101radio.com. If you do have any questions or you would like to share any feedback with us, please feel free to post them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO101 Podcast on Facebook. If you see my image on Facebook, you will see that it's just a cartoon. It is not a fake account. It is real. I'm just dramatically reducing my usage of Facebook, including removing personal photos. So it is real. It is me. You're all good. Don't think I'm a scammer, because I'm not. I promise I'm not a scammer. If you did enjoy the show or any of our shows, we do appreciate the feedback on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere that you find your favorite podcast. We are pretty much everywhere, and we do listen to our feedback. Well, have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air about every week or 2 weeks on WMR.fm. And thank you for listening.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.